Welcome into episode 8, Scissor Tail Podcast. Your co-host, Porter Cunningham, joined as always by my good friend, Will Bowersox. Will, say hello to the people.
Episode The Ocho starts now.
Episode 8, The Ocho. Will, I'm feeling refreshed after our little two-week break. How about you?
I'm stressed as hell, man.
Yeah?
We got Twitter notifications going crazy.
Yeah.
We got a lot of questions about the team. I'm sleep deprived. I just drank a green tea.
You're all jacked up on the green tea.
I got a bunch of construction workers running around the Scissor Tail Studios.
Yeah.
With their diesel trucks gunning the engines at all hours of the night and day.
Your street's all torn up out there. Can't even drive on it.
I feel like I need a soccer season to start to really calm me.
Well, we're almost there. I think we're, what, 12 days away now
from
opening kick? Is it? No, we're closer than that.
We're real close.
I can't do maths. We're close. So this is the penultimate episode before the season starts.
It's a big fancy word.
So from a long time ago, before we were on vacation, staycation, I don't think we had any corrections from our last episode.
I don't think so either.
But between the last episode and now, seems like ages ago, there was one final big signing for Ryo OKC.
Yeah, well, and apparently they're not done. So we'll see about that. But yeah, I think everyone, it was one of the worst kept secrets in expansion franchise history. So Giorgio Samaras, and I, full disclosure, I'm butchering his name, I'm sure.
But I don't think that's too far off. Giorgio Samaras.
I'm just going to call him George.
George.
Or Samaras. That's what everyone was calling him at the event. So Samaras, signing with the team, very exciting. Some might say, I would say, at least in the current edition of the NASL, it's the biggest signing to date. I mean, when you've got MLS fans who are pissed that he didn't go to their team, you know you've done something right. Now, disclaimers, right? He is definitely coming off some... Well, even before we talk about that, let's talk about his background.
Yeah.
So he is Greek. He's a Grecian. Has played for Celtic. Has played for Man City. Has spent time, I believe, at
West Brom.
West Bromwich Albion in the Premier League.
I think he only played a handful of games for them, and then they loaned him out to a Saudi Arabian side, I believe.
Okay, he's got a great highlight video. I think he's scored some goals up in Scotland that have endeared him to the Celtic fan base. And
scored a key goal for Greece in the 2010 World Cup.
I believe that was the 2014 World Cup.
Okay.
Versus the Ivory Coast.
Yeah.
So he's certainly got pedigree. So a couple disclaimers. He's north of 30. He's coming off of a serious back injury. And, you know, so he came to Ryo, and we'll talk about this later, but he spent the last, call it, year or so training with the Cosmos and apparently failed two physicals with them.
One with them and one with, well, I'm sorry, I didn't even see one with them. I think he failed one with DC United and one with a European side. It's what people say that, you know, there's no confirmation of it, but the rumor is that he was set to sign with DC United and then also another European team and could not pass the medical at that time. So,
yeah. But hey, look, if there's one city who's doctors are like pretty aggressive on sports physicals, I would say it's Oklahoma City's, right? The Thunder trade for Tyson Chandler because of his big toe or something weird like that.
Yeah,
I don't think people know we almost got Tyson Chandler. That would have been huge. Baker Mayfield, you know, played after getting that hit, and then they took him out of the game after he had a headache. So I don't think there's anything too funky. Maybe he passed. Maybe he had a bad day with the physicals. Or maybe he just wanted to sign for Ryo OKC. You know, maybe it's not that outlandish to say. So the big signings for Ryo OKC continue. Both Porter and I were at the signing event, had a chance to meet him, meet some other players, meet the coach, talk to some of the owners. And here's a teaser for our free talk segment. I asked Point Blake, one of the directors of business development at the club, why Samaras? Like, why Ryo OKC? Like, what was the pitch? He said, well, frankly, Ryo Vallecano. He was really enticed by that relationship. So keep listening, and we'll talk more about that. But
the big question with Samaras is,
where is he going to play?
Where will he play? Which I see him being as a target man up top, but also I think the bigger question is, will he return to his previous form? Will he be a goal machine?
And if I go to different hero restaurants in Oklahoma City, will I see him?
No, there is only one real Greek restaurant in Oklahoma City. Don't forget. I forgot the name of it.
Luigi's Pizza?
No. It's the one downtown. What was Michael at the Greek man at the...
I forget. But that was what was cool about his signing, is that people from the Greek community came out. So you can tell that he's a totem in the Greek community here in town. So that was really cool.
Indeed. All right, well, let's talk about some other stuff besides Samaras. So we put a projected 11 out on the Twitter, and we wanted to talk about all of the comments and questions we got about it. So we're going to talk about that now. All right, we're done talking about all the comments and questions we got about the projected 11.
Well, I think it's hard, right? I mean, no one has had a chance to really see this team play. No one knows who some of the players. Not everyone knows who all the players are. So they've done a really good job of keeping the lineups and the tactical adjustments, keeping them close to the chest. So
yeah, we've gotten to the date, we've gotten zero match reports from the team, which we're not faulting the team for at all.
I don't want them. We don't need them. They should be holding
those.
If
this was year two, I'd be really upset if we weren't getting those, because I'd want to see how the new signings are fitting in and everything. But I certainly don't expect them to be pandering to us at this point. But we did finally get on the Ryo OKC Twitter account for the final preseason game a starting 11, which I want to go over real quick. Danny Fernandez in goal, which I don't think should surprise anybody. I think he'll be the starter. He might split time with Caleb Patterson, but we'll see. Then a back four of Danzo, Rashawn McKenzie, Michelle, and Kosuke Kimura. A midfield of Monsalves, Menjivar, Pekka, and Sebastian Velasquez. And then forwards of Billy Forbes and Johnson. So the questions I had from those is, opening up the media guide that we got before they went on this Florida preseason trip, I don't see anybody in trialists or signed players by the name of Danso or Johnson. So unless these are more trialists we picked up along the way.
Danso Johnson.
Or perhaps they were auto-corrected incorrectly.
Maybe.
Auto-correct screwed up,
maybe.
And these are other players. I don't know who those two guys are.
Any players going by one name, which clearly Danso is, you got to think he's good, right?
Yeah.
Should we just start going by one names when we play indoor?
Yes.
Hey, I'm Bauer Sox.
Yes. Yes, we should.
I think what also is telling about this preseason trip is who didn't play.
Yeah, I didn't see any, and keep in mind we got no match report, so we don't know for sure if they played or not, but we have to assume that they played little to zero, and those are the really big signings, with no offense to anybody that was mentioned from that starting 11 from the Jacksonville game, but nothing from Derek Boateng, Robbie Finley, George, Juanon, Marvin Chavez, and Eric Norales were not mentioned in that starting 11.
But yeah, I would say probably on the whole, I would just guess it was a good preseason. You know, we've got some results to talk about. We can try to parse through some of that, and if there's anything that we can learn from it to get ready for the season. So that's coming up in segment two, preseason talk. Stay with us.
We'll take us back to, what was that, end of February, beginning of March, when our first preseason game was?
That's right. So the club played San Antonio FC, which is a USL side. Probably a lot of familiar faces, though, from the former NASL side. The result of that game was a 1-1 draw. And actually, the video on Twitter, there's a GIF that leaked of Michel's free kick goal, probably about, I would say, 20 yards out, 25
yeah.
yards out.
Yeah.
Clearly had deflected in, but certainly a nice effort, and I'll take it, right? I think – so then, yeah, Porter, the next match, they played a team from St. Louis, is that right?
Yeah, St. Louis FC, another USL team.
Soon to be MLS side, right?
USL to MLS.
No comment, right?
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
And the team didn't announce anything about this, and it's out there nowhere. I mean, they announced the game was going to be played, and then after that, they didn't really say anything. But because of our stellar connections with the team, because we've been working so hard at the Sister Tale podcast to bring you journalistic, full of integrity information, we discovered that Ryo Kassib played St. Louis FC to a 2-1 loss.
Played him tough.
And that's all we have. We don't even know who scored the lone goal.
Do you want to guess?
I would not even hazard a guess at who scored the goal.
I bet it was Semeraz.
he was playing before he was even announced.
The next match, this one...
They began their Florida journey, right?
Right, that's right. So they... Actually, the day after the Semeraz announcement, they flew to Miami. I'm sure via the Southwest team charter. And played Miami FC, so that's an ASL side, to a 0-1 loss. Not surprising, I suppose, just based on team chemistry. Their next match, certainly confusing, they played a team called, I want to say it's pronounced Barry. Barry University?
It's a European pronouncement.
So they obviously had a scrimmage with Barry University's team. Barry is a private university in North Miami.
North Miami.
Yeah, North Miami.
Only the Okies will understand that joke. Miami. Yeah, and the only reason we knew about that game is because, or scrimmage, I guess we should say, preseason friendly, is Sebastian Velasquez tweeted out that he did score 2 goals in that game. So we don't know what the final result was there. I don't think it matters, but good to see that somebody's putting balls in the net.
So my reaction... And granted, I'm only following along on Twitter, the results, so this is a very superficial analysis. But my reaction is, this is exactly what we're expecting. What we're getting from the team is what we should expect based on what we know about Marcina. Like, they are not great defensively, and they're just trying to, like, attack. And so, like, my analysis was, well, they're still gelling, and they're still trying out the trial list, so their attack is no good, but they're giving up goals. And I was like, well... This team is like, I'm unimpressed. Like, this is worrying that we're not blowing out all of our preseason matches, like winning 5-0.
For all we know, the edict to Coach Marcina could be, we don't even care how you play the entire spring season. Because they literally signed their last player, or not even what they, you know, their latest signing was 3-4 weeks before the season starts. So... For all we know, the management could say, Alan, take the entire spring season and use it as a preseason if you want, and then just come out and compete in the fall season. I don't know. But
I will say that after the results of the Jacksonville Armada FC friendly, my narrative has totally changed.
Yeah.
It went from me being pessimistic over not scoring goals and giving up bad goals. They won 3-1. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And
we're a goal-scoring machine.
Richard Menyavar had 2 of those. And our boy,
Menyavar with a double.
Our boy Ian Svantesson had a goal.
I've got high expectations for Menyavar.
First goal, I guess, in the NASL, even though it was a preseason match for Ian. Which, in one note about that, in the media guide, and I think in college, I went back and looked up his college stats, by the way. I did a homer move and went back and looked up his college stats there at UAB. Ian's always played it as a defender. Then in the recap, it called him a forward. So I don't know if it was off a corner or what, you know, if they pulled him up as a center back into the box and somebody got confused, called him a forward. But he did score 8 goals his senior season at UAB. So, you know,
was he
the center back position.
He's from the center back position. Interesting. All right. Well, there's something to keep our eye on for sure. But the preseason is pretty much over. We assume the team is back here in town, finishing touches on finalizing the roster and getting ready to play. So coming up next, we will talk about what we have left to learn about the team and the run-up to the season. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
All right, welcome back. Segment 3, Scissor Tail Podcast, Episode 8. Will... We are just a few days away from opening night at Miller Stadium in fabulous Yukon, Oklahoma. What do we need to know about the team? I mean, we're 9 days away, I guess, now that I got my math correct. What are we what are we still missing from the team?
I mean, the big news that I legitimately cannot wait for is the kit reveal.
Yeah.
And we please know, announce it. I want to wear it.
Well,
I want to buy it.
We know that that's going to be a live event that the fans will be invited to. We know that much. Because Eric told us, you know, the general manager relayed to us, when they are ready, when the kit's here, the shirt sponsor is done, if they secure a shirt sponsor, that will be a live event. So it's already Wednesday, the 23rd. It's got to happen next week. I saw him, you know, there were two tweets on the Rye OKC account. They said, hey, we're going to announce a lot of cool stuff today. That was earlier today. Yesterday, they said something about there's so much stuff for us to announce between now and the home opener. You're not going to believe it or something like that. So,
hypothetical question for you.
Okay.
Let's pretend in a worst case scenario that no shirt sponsor comes forward.
Okay.
The team approaches us and says, Scissor Tail Podcast, would you be a sponsor? What is the maximum amount from your personal savings that you would contribute to being a shirt sponsor?
Right here in my wallet, I would be willing to pledge right now a March 2016 calendar bonus of 50% off trout entree to Twin Peaks. Good at any Twin Peaks location nationally. It does expire March 31st.
Get the team dinner in early.
Get the team dinner in two nights before. I could do that.
Okay,
could
well.
Could you just put a picture of the coupon on the shirt?
Just photocopy it?
Just photocopy it.
Well, in my wallet, I would contribute my new, recently received HSA Flexible Spending Account healthcare card. UMB Bank is the bank of record, and I can't promise much, but it gets $93 a month in replenishment.
All right.
So
you can guarantee $93 a month.
For qualified expenditures at verified retailers.
So we could...
Ibuprofen.
We could help them pay for the...
Clearasil.
For the team doctors, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
So, Eric... Or any relevant members of the front office, if you're listening, just to recap, you've got a half off trout dinner.
I've got other Twin Peaks coupons too. They're only good for the month that they're in, right? So I promise every month for the rest of the year, you'll have a good Twin Peaks coupon.
Twin Peaks and HSA debit card. That, by the way, is I've signed it, so I have to be there for the purchase.
It's a sad state of affairs in the Scissor Tail studio.
All right. Anyway, let's. On to happier.
Yeah, let's talk about some people that are actually making money. We want to talk about TV deals. So what we know is One World Sports, which was announced yesterday or the day before. I don't know. My days run together.
First of all, what is One World Sports?
So from what I understand, being an NASL newbie, they did this last year with One World Sports. One World Sports and ESPN3 were the online partners with NASL. They showed a game of the week on One World Sports.
Okay.
So the iteration this year is going to be One World Sports is a subscriber-only online sports network. It is on Google Fiber as an actual channel, but that's the only the only television provider that actually carries it right now. But for the NASL, every Saturday during the season, they will have a game of the week that is free, that is going to be live cast for free on their website. And Rio OKC is featured thrice this season. So two home games and one away game at New York. So that'll be cool to see.